Welcome everyone to Vegan Online Academy's very first podcast. I'm your host, Carrie Harrison, an educator with a master's education degree and a bachelor's of science in psychology who is committed to supporting others on their vegan journey. Today's guest is Chloe Ventura, a fellow educator who works full-time as a second grade teacher. Chloe has two beautiful children, Lily aged 5 and Tyler aged 2. Chloe also suffers from a long-term chronic condition called Lyme's disease, and she is here to tell us how transitioning to a vegan diet has done wonders for her health and for her children's health as well. I'm sure we all want to know how she does it. Okay, Chloe, really nice to have you here on the Vegan Online Academy podcast.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Can you tell us a little bit about your vegan journey so far?
Yes, so I was diagnosed with Lyme's disease in fifth grade, which was like, I don't know, many years ago. We took care of it within a year and I was fine for many years. And then I had my daughter in 2014. And after, I guess, the hormones and everything of after having kids can change, and the Lyme's disease came back. But we didn't know at the time what it was. I just knew I was very sick all of the time. And then when I got pregnant with my son, who's now 2, it all went away. It kind of went dormant again. And then when he was born in 2017, it came back again. I was sick all the time, and I didn't know what was going on. In and out of the hospital, headaches, just couldn't sleep, things like that. So very lovely friend, you had told me that veganism can help with chronic disease, and I've been in and out of hospitals, multiple doctors, medicines, everything, nothing worked. So honestly, at that point, I was like, it's not going to work, just changing my diet, that's silly, nothing else worked, it won't work. But I was like, really good friend, I trust you, so let me just try it, what can it hurt? So I did, full strong, 2 weeks in, and at that point I was in the hospital maybe 2 times a week-ish, 3 times every 2 weeks, something about there. And after 2 weeks of being vegan, to this day, I haven't gone back once. I haven't had any of the problems. I've slept through the night before. I wasn't sleeping through the night. And so that's what started it, and that's what's made it pretty easy to keep up with it. I think even a month after, my husband had said, you know, maybe it was just coincidence. You went vegan and maybe at the same time, whatever problem you were having was fine. And I was struggling with temptations, things like that. So I was like, okay. You know, he talked me into one or two things here and there. And shortly after, it was right back to being very sick again. So it became clear that it was the diet. And so that's what's made it very easy to stay with it, is because it's feeling like that or feeling the way I do now. And then slowly, as once I tackled that hurdle in the first year, the second year became more of researching other benefits. And so now, kind of like in your course, when you talk about the 3 pillars, I've kind of branched out to the other pillars to see how it can benefit more than just the chronic disease.
So that's just amazing to me that you were able to go from being in and out of hospital a couple of times a week or every other week to like being really fit and healthy and hardly ever having to go to visit the hospital.
Even now, like me and Francisco, my husband, we still don't believe it, because whenever everybody asks, you know, what made you go vegan, I always tell them the same way, the same story, that, you know, I was very silly and thinking, oh, you know, it's not going to work, you know, eating my diet, whatever. I've tried pills, I've tried this, I've tried that, I've been with doctors, nothing works. Why would changing my food up work? But of course, for respect, and I'm like, oh, my friend, she knows everything, let me just try it, you know, let me do it. And sure enough, that was it. That's exactly what changed it and worked.
And so for the people listening that don't know what Lyme's disease is, would you be able just to tell them a little bit about that?
Yes. So it's a tick-borne disease where it's carried by most deer ticks. And I haven't done as much research on it as I did when I first got it, because obviously when you first get it, you really dig into it. And since I got it till now, there's been so much more that came out about it and so much more information on it. So I just kind of know the surface level from when I first got it. But basically, you get more problems the longer it takes to treat it. So I did, it took me about 6 months to a year to figure out what it was, because the first sign is a bullseye rash, and I was one of the very low percentage people who didn't get it, or if I did get it, it was in a place I couldn't see. So basically, it's a lot of people and researchers connect it to being very similar to dementia and Alzheimer's, where it's just kind of one part of your body, one organ at a time, kind of shuts down, stops working, gives you problems, and then if it goes untreated forever, eventually you can pass away from it in the similar ways of Alzheimer's and dementia, where it just kind of eats one thing at a time until there's nothing left. So the longer it takes to treat it, the worse the symptoms become, which I think is what was happening with me. In the beginning, it was just little things, and then it was migraines, not being able to sleep, feeling very, you just feel nauseous all the time. You feel very sick, very weak. You can't move, can't do much. So, but I mean, there's a lot more that goes into it, but that's as much as I understood when I first got it. So
it's quite a serious disease that you've been able to keep in check, or
certainly
make a lot better through eating whole foods, plant-based.
Yes, which was part of the thing I forgot to mention, was it is a lifelong disease, which they took a while to, they were fighting about it being chronic or not, because there's such little information on it. But so the reason it took so long for me to figure out in 2017 what it was because I did not know that it basically, it lies dormant, and then it can come and go. And that's kind of part of the unknown, is what causes it to flare up and come and go. But the Lyme's disease has been the one thing that keeps it, I mean, the veganism is the one thing that keeps it, has kept it dormant for 2 years now, so.
That's fantastic. So how long have you been vegan?
This summer, this July, is 2 years.
That's amazing.
Yes. So,
because I remember when you first went vegan, and within a month or so, you had said to me, you know, this is really good. And you'd said when you first started that you hadn't really gone into it thinking this will be a long-term thing, and that maybe you would give it a try and then go back to eating meat. But that hasn't been the case.
No. And like I said, I was just like, there's no way. And the proof itself is what has changed me, because I was like, there's no other explanation. There's no other, like, this is real. I'm experiencing it. I know it's working. And so, nope, if anything, I've just grown more to realize why I'm doing it more. And it's just become easier the longer it's gone on. And I think even for family and friends that were like, okay, let's just deal with her. It's a phase. She'll get over it. And even now I'm seeing family and friends starting to realize, no, that's her, that this is how they're going to be for a while. It's not just a phase.
Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly not a phase after 2 years. This is life now.
Yep.
Okay. So what do you think though has been the hardest part of becoming vegan for you?
It's kind of changed. In the beginning, the hardest part was getting a norm of what to buy and what to eat and what's vegan and what's not, because a lot of things, you know, you have to learn how to read the labels and you have to just kind of know. And I remember we had a talk when I first went about being in the grocery store for like 4 hours trying to figure out what I'm going to eat, trying to figure out how to cook it. And you think at the beginning it's this big fancy thing. You have to cook these fancy meals and you have to know, follow these special recipes and things. But in the second year, I can be in and out in a whiz. I know what I'm getting. I can cook it without thinking. I don't have to follow recipes unless obviously I'm trying something new. But it's become a lot easier. And I would say in the second year of being vegan, the hardest part is just dealing with outsiders who are constantly criticizing you. They think it's silly. They don't believe you. They're trying to feed your kids food that they shouldn't have. Just things like that is dealing with other people. Now that I focused on myself, now it's focusing on how to get other people to accept and understand. So.
Yeah, that bigger picture. I can really appreciate where you're coming from, because I feel like I went down the same journey of being in the grocery store and like taking ages and mm-hmm. to pick everything out, and then spending far too much money following recipes that were far too complicated, all of that process, and then you get that hurdle over and done with, and then it's dealing with other people around you that maybe don't quite understand who this new person is that's standing mm-hmm. before them eating this new strange diet. So
yes.
So you have two young children who perhaps you can hear playing in the background, which is lovely, and you're raising them as vegan.
Yes.
So could you tell us a little bit about the benefits that you've seen through that and maybe some of the difficulties that that's presented
yes.
as well?
So without trying to be too much information, my daughter, she when she was younger, she obviously right out of nursing, she went on to whole milk. Just like the doctors recommended, like I thought was normal. And she was drinking, geez, like 2-3 sippies a day of milk. And at home and with the sitter, there was constant complaint of, you know, her being frustrated using the restroom. She couldn't. She would scream. It was a horrible experience. And so after taking her to the doctor and trying multiple things, the doctor mentioned that maybe it could be the type of milk she was drinking. He didn't quite recommend almond, but maybe tapering off, not so much milk, maybe one sippy versus three, things like that. And when I had gone vegan, I had heard research and things like, you know, with the learning more about dairy and how it affects our body, I had thought, you know, maybe her issues could be related to the dairy. So I switched her over to almond milk. And from then on out, she was like good as new. She wasn't afraid to use the restroom, smooth sailing, everything was good. And so I made the connection that obviously dairy wasn't good for her. And so when my son was born, same thing, started them both. And then that's when I decided, you know, I'm vegan. I want to raise them vegan. I want to see the health benefits for them. And they're just, they're happy, healthy. A lot of people make comments that, you know, I'm torturing them and they're not getting what they need. So purposely, I did at their well checks, her 4-year and his 2-year, had all their blood work done, had everything drawn, and they were just as healthy, if not healthier than any other kid. The doctor said he has no worry whatsoever. They're in the highest rankings for what they need. They're above average on weight and height and things like that. So if anything, I've seen it benefit them more than anything else.
So do you have any advice for other parents who want to raise vegan children? What would you say to them?
Yes. What's very hard, the first thing I would say, which is much easier to say rather than do, is to definitely kind of try to block out until you know how to handle it and how to work around it. I tried to block out negative comments and people making me feel like I'm a bad mother, because at the end of the day, they're just there to criticize and to not like, you know, what you're doing. And with any other belief you have in life, you know, you shouldn't let other people make you feel a certain way about what you're doing. You know what you're doing is good for your kids. So I would definitely say blocking out the negativity, and until you know how to work around other people and how to respond, to just kind of block yourself in and focus on you and your family first. And get that down. The other thing is with small kids, definitely learning your quick options for busy days, because obviously that was my hardest thing in the first year. Was I was like, what in the world? I'm so busy. I have all summer with them because I'm a teacher, so I have off in the summers. I was like, when we're out all day, what in the world can I get them quickly that's vegan without starving them all day, without having to pre-pack? And so one thing is definitely pre-packing lunches if you're going somewhere where you don't know what's going to be vegan. Super easy. Their favorites are like peanut butter and jelly, just quick hummus wraps, things like that. Always have food in case you can't find something. But a lot more restaurants and even fast food things are coming out with vegan options. So even if you do get stuck, there's always an option. So I wouldn't cave in just because of your schedule. Definitely pre-planning is key.
That yeah. sounds like really good advice to me, especially yeah. blocking out that negativity, because you know a vegan diet is research-based. It's mm-hmm. not something that you've plucked out of, you know, pie-in-the-sky idea. It's something
yes.
that's evidence-based that many doctors are now recommending. So I like that advice mm-hmm. a lot,
yes.
definitely.
Yes.
And be prepared, because I think that's where I fell down in the beginning, was like I would go out for lunch thinking I could get something, didn't really know what I was doing. Ended up being a bit stuck. So having something.
For sure. Because for adults, you can kind of hold it out. Mm-hmm. But for kids, you feel so guilty. And there's many times I was like, should I just get them something? But we just go home instead. But definitely pre-planning is perfect.
Sounds good to me.
Yes.
So We talked about your kids. Your husband is wonderful in that he supports you very much at home, and he eats a lot of plant-based foods, and he's very supportive of you and the kids. But he isn't completely vegan yet. Now, this is something that I've worked through as well. So a lot of people are in this situation where one partner is vegan and the other partner may be supportive but isn't quite there yet. How do you get through this situation? What compromises have you reached together?
Yes. So this has been a long process, but definitely I try to share any of the research and fact-based things versus opinions, because you know, you can see results there, you can see that it's real and fact-based for him. And so his main struggle is he believes it, he knows, he's seen it work for me, he's seen it work for the kids. And even when I was struggling in the first year, if I would kind of cave on something, he's like, don't you dare, you're gonna get sick again, like you need to stick to it. So for him, he knows it's real, he knows it works. His main struggle is changing his lifestyle that he's known his whole life. So our compromise is I'm working, I have two kids, I can't cook double meals, and I really prefer not to cook meat and animal-based products for him. So at home, when he's with us or around us, he eats vegan with us and he's just fine with it. And usually if he's at work or he goes out with friends and we're not there, that's when he'll cave into his temptations. But I will say I think he is fighting his own battle, because just the other night, 2 days ago, I think, he had said, and the funny thing was, it was probably the hardest meal for him. It was just a sandwich thin, like a kind of like a Subway sandwich with just like veggies and things. And we had veggies on the side and we had some sweet potato chips and things. And that was probably the hardest meal for him. But as he's eating it, he had said, you know, I think I'm going to try again to just be vegan for a while and see how it goes. Because whenever he does go out with friends and eat and stuff, he does have a very upset stomach. He doesn't feel well and he can see the difference himself. His main struggle is just, being able to change his lifestyle completely. So, and he also struggles with the negative comments from other people. That really hurts him. When people start saying stuff to him, he gets very self-conscious, and that's when he will cave in. So definitely I'm just being supportive of him, even though it may not be the perfect world. The more supportive I am, the more willing he is to try with me. So
that sounds like great advice to me, and it's the approach that I took as well. In terms of the first step was agree to be vegan at home or vegan around me as much as possible, and then I just like close my mind to if my husband's out for a business lunch and he eats something that I wouldn't necessarily want him to eat, then that's okay. Mm-hmm. He can do that. And I think that openness on your part then leads them to be open to hear the research and the facts and the information. Yes. Whereas if you dig your heels in and are really stubborn about it, I think people then also dig in and you just push them further away. So that sounds like a really good compromise to me.
Because how they badger you about being vegan, they feel like you're badgering them about not being vegan. So when people bother you about it, that just makes you all more wanting to do what you're doing. So the same thing, if you're not supportive to them, then they're more like, hey, I don't want to be wrong, hey, leave me alone. So it's definitely the more supportive I am, the more he's more willing, like, okay, maybe I'll try it again.
And I think that the way that you act in terms of that you're so healthy and you look so good, you're so fit, the kids are so fit and healthy, and I think that in itself is a really good example to lead to, and so your husband can see that and wants to emulate that fitness and that healthiness. So.
Yes, exactly, because he's very workout gym kind of thing, so he's said that before too, like, oh, maybe I just need to go vegan and that's how I'm going to finally lose weight and look good. Like, well, that's one approach, but
absolutely, whatever it takes to get there, definitely. So what do you think would be like something like you and your kids' favorite things to eat in a day? Could you just walk us through that?
Yes. So for breakfast, our favorite is oatmeal. We do and it's super quick, which is nice because even as a working mom, as I'm doing my makeup or something, I can throw it on the stove and heat it up, and something we can take to go. So they definitely love oatmeal and toast in the morning. Sometimes they'll like just a plain bagel. And then for lunch, their favorites, it's funny because a lot of people like to say that I torture my kids, just rice and beans and rice and beans and rice and beans and rice and beans, but if you ask them, you know, what do you guys want for lunch? What do you want for dinner? Their first response is rice and beans because that's their favorite. So we do a lot of rice and beans because that's their main preference. So for lunch, usually if we're on the quick move and we're going out, it's peanut butter and jelly because that's just something quick we can put together. Probably not the healthiest, but for them, they're fairly happy. But at home, if we're eating lunch, we like to change it up a lot. We'll do like spaghetti. They'll do their favorite. They like, we make our own at home, but basically like a veggie sandwich from Subway. We just do like sandwich thins with the lettuce and the onions and cucumbers and things like that. We always have some sort of side of fruits. So they'll do, their favorite right now is strawberries. They've gone through the phase of carrots, but I always try to change it up so that they stay liking all of them. We'll do cut up cucumbers, things like that. For dinner, we always have vegetables. So we'll have, they like the mixed vegetables and broccoli and cauliflower. And then our dinners always change. Usually the base is the same. We'll usually have some form of rice or quinoa or something. And then we'll have, we'll use the garden. We'll do the, chicken, like the little Mandarin chicken. We'll do, they have the meatless Italian sausages. We'll cut that up and do rice and veggies and things like that. Just all sorts. Surprisingly, we've got such a branch now after 2 years that we'll kind of rotate around, that we're not stuck in the same things all the time. But we'll do at dinner time too, we'll do a smoothie. Tyler's always like opening the fridge. Can we do the smoothie? So we'll do a smoothie for a drink. They usually do, to make sure they're getting protein, we do the protein nut milk, the specific one that has extra protein. So I'll always give them a cup of that. They can pick either lunch or dinner. So other than that, they love water. People think we're torturing them with water, but they choose water. What do you want to drink? I want water. So those are usually our go-tos. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Breakfast is usually the same, but lunch and dinner, we have quite a variety.
This sounds delicious. It sounds amazing. And I'm always so impressed with your children about how much they love to eat broccoli and green things. And I think that just shows if you start early, it just becomes that natural.
Yes. We went to Whole Foods one day and we were picking out of the pre-made stuff, and my daughter was there, Lily, and she was like asking for the mixed vegetables. She's like, Mommy, I want this, I want that. And there was someone else standing there, and she was just giving her this weird look. And she turned to me and she said, did your kid really just ask out of all this food? I mean, there was meats, there was pasta, there was everything. And she said, out of all this food here, did she really just ask for the vegetables? And she's just so happy. Like, that's, and I'm like, that's her norm. And she's like, wow, that's awful. That's all that this kid is asking for vegetables. I'm like, let's think about that. Is that really awful that a 4-year-old is preferring, and her first thing on the dinner plate, first thing she always eats is all the veggies or fruit first, and then she goes to the rest of her meal. So it's just, it's their norm. It's what they like. So it's easy.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And I think it's just amazing the attitude that you bump into, even in the, you know, when a child's picking out vegetables, you would think other people would think that's a good thing, but not necessarily so. So I think that just again harks back to our blocking out the negativity side of things. Focus on your family and the positives, because you know that when your children grow up, they're getting the best start that they can, and they're just going to be just so healthy.
And I think it helps with, like, my husband Francisco, his struggle is that it's so hard for him to make the change now that he's so much older. And so now Lily and Tyler, they already have, like, it's their norm. So it won't be, they won't have that struggle of temptation and all of that later, because this is what they do. They've started from a young age. They won't have to make any kind of change or transformation.
Exactly. Their taste buds are aligned to beans, rice, fruits, vegetables, broccoli, spinach, you know, all these really good things that parents normally struggle to get their kids to eat, but that's what their taste buds are tuned into, so they're not going to have an issue when they're older.
Yeah,
sticking with that.
Really so great. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like the way that you're a balance. You have a balance. You're mentioning the garden meats and the mock meats, so you're not, like, it doesn't have to be 100% plant-based to whole foods. In terms of cooking everything from scratch, and just a little bit of those things really helps make things a little bit easier. I find that.
Yeah,
definitely.
And definitely for back to the other question of, like, working moms and moms with young kids, that's made a big difference, because that was kind of they didn't have as many options in that first year of going vegan, and I didn't know as much about like the mock meats and stuff, and I was like, oh my goodness, cooking everything from scratch, trying to figure out what that main course was going to be was a lot. And then it's like a whole new world remembering, hello, they have other things that are super simple, because a lot of that stuff is pretty much done. It maybe takes like 5-10 minutes to cook that main course. And so for working moms, I get home maybe 6 o'clock and I can have dinner done and on the table by like 6:45, 7 o'clock, just because it can be super fast and easy. It doesn't have to be this long, drawn out process, and it's mindless. I just open, okay, which one do we want today, friends? And we pick one and stick it on. So it's a lot easier for busy. You don't have to use time as an excuse. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I find that vegan meals actually are much quicker to cook because you're not waiting for the meat to cook through. It tends to be vegetables cook a lot quicker.
Yes,
that's just the fact of the situation.
We did the Beyond Burgers last night, I told you, for dinner, and we had company over. So I told them, you know, text me when you're about 10 minutes out and I'll throw the burgers on, you know, and they're thinking, you know, like it takes that quick to cook them. And it's just like 3 minutes each side because it's already, you know, already basically done and good to go. And so it's like, instead of waiting, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, you just boop, pop them on and they're done.
And you don't have to worry about all that bacteria and, you know, hysteria or, you know, all these other nasty things that you can get from meat. So it's all good.
It's all good to go.
So thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. Are there any other last words of wisdom that you'd like to share with the audience?
No, just definitely that I know, just like with a lot of things, when you're walking into it, it seems like it's going to take forever to get to a norm, and it's a big change in things, but the more you stick to it, the faster the time flies and the better you're feeling, and it's just another thing that becomes norm, and with the right support and information and things, I think anybody could do it.
I agree with you. Anybody could do it. Well, thank you very much, Chloe.
Yes,
it's been lovely to have you.
Thank
you for listening to this very first Vegan Online Academy podcast. We hope that you enjoyed the show. If you would like help transitioning to a vegan diet, check out our online course, which offers 33 in-depth lessons and support materials so that you too can take the journey that Chloe took to health and happiness. Visit veganonlineacademy.com for more details. Thank you for listening, and until next time, goodbye.